If you have struggled with staying consistent with your Bible reading, and it seems like a chore to you to read your Bible, stay tuned because I think this lesson will help. I'll be live streaming these lessons, as always, to Sermon Audio and YouTube, and I air my Bible studies and sermons every Friday on Final Fight Bible Radio at 8 o'clock a.m. and 8 o'clock p.m. Pacific Time, and you can download that app on the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store, Final Fight Bible Radio. If you enjoy this content, share these lessons with your friends and family. And as always, all of my recorded video material is on Sermon Audio. You can go to sermonaudio.com, type in Matt Crane, and find that material there. And if you're interested in additional in-depth studies, I have 3 books that I've written that are available through the Final Fight Bible Radio store, and you can find those there. I will be teaching the Bible to some high school students this next week, multiple classes a day. I'm grateful for the opportunity. But because of the busyness of this following week and also being out of town next weekend, I'll forego the next week's Bible study, but we'll pick it back up the following Sunday, just so you know. All right, so people have asked me multiple times how I read and study my Bible, and so I've finally decided to do a few lessons on this subject. And over the last 2 weeks, I've been going over some of the basics when it comes to reading and studying the Bible. And if you want to gain a more thorough understanding of the Bible and gain deeper insights into the interpretations of the Scriptures, you're going to have to start with the basics. And the number one foundational basic, really, I believe, when it comes to reading and studying the Bible and getting something out of the Bible is your attitude towards it. And this is something that makes the Bible very distinct from all other books. Because this is God's book, because this is the book that was written by your Creator, God has written the Bible in such a way that your attitude towards it, or your belief towards it, both of those things, your attitude and your belief towards it, determines whether you're going to get anything out of it or not. Which is why that's the first thing I mentioned in these lessons, is the importance of consciously acknowledging what the Bible truly is. As a Christian, even, you need to realize what the Bible truly is. It is the Word of God. It is the Word of your Creator. And if you're of the opinion, as a Christian, that the Bible is simply just a collection of the writings of men, this book is going to be a sealed book to you. If your opinion is that the Bible is just a collection of archaic documents with a bunch of these and thous in it, it will be a sealed book to you. All right? Your attitude should be that this Bible is a special book, and that this Bible is a supernatural book, and that this Bible is God's book, and for that matter, this is the only book that God has on the planet. Just like there's one way to heaven, Jesus Christ, just as there's one Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and just as there's one church, one faith, you know, and Paul goes through the list of all those things, there's also one Bible. This world is not full of a bunch of different words of God, you know. God gave this world one book, and it is this Bible. Specifically, the King James Bible, but that's another story, another subject for another time. But your actions will naturally follow your attitude, and so your faith in this book will lead to love for this book, which will lead to time spent in this book, which will naturally lead to obedience to this book. And if you will read and study and believe and love and obey the Bible, God will show you light and wisdom and instruction from the pages of this book guaranteed. If you will believe this Bible, read this Bible, love this Bible, and obey this Bible, God will show you light, Christian. That is a guarantee. All right? So, the things we've gone over so far is realizing what the Bible truly is, and then the importance, and or the fact of the matter is, if you want to find treasure, you're going to have to be willing to dig. And not just willing to dig, but you're going to have to actually dig. Okay? You know, you can desire to dig. Yeah, I'd love to dig. That'd be great. I think that's important. But then if you never actually do it, you're never going to find the treasure. All right? So, like I said, these are tips that I would give in regards to reading and studying the Bible. These are things that I implement in my own life. And for those of you that wonder where Matt Crane comes up with all these crazy Bible studies, well, this is how I come up with it, you know. And by the way, all credit and glory goes to Jesus Christ, because revelation comes from the Spirit of God, all right? But as far as personal habits, this is what I do, all right? To find treasure, you have to dig. You're going to have to be willing to read all of the Bible, not just the parts that seem interesting or relevant to you. Be willing to read all the Bible, because the whole entire book, all 66 books of the Bible, are God's words. So whether you think they're relevant or not is beside the point. God believes they're relevant, so read it. All right? Be sure to read your Bible every day. That's a good habit to get into. Read your Bible day and night. Read it early in the morning. And I went over all those things last week. Now, I want to insert a quick note here and point out that I would encourage you to not make the mistake of thinking that if you do all these things, you'll be earning merit with God, or that God will value you more as a Christian. And don't make the mistake of thinking that if you do all these things, that God is going to love you more. All right? All of the merit and the value and the love that you have with God is in the person of Jesus Christ. And listen, Christian, and listen, Bible believer, your Bible reading performance has nothing to do with any of that. Your Bible reading performance has nothing to do with your merit with God, your value of God, and your love from God. Okay? However much you read your Bible or don't read your Bible has no bearing on any of that. All right? Whether you read your Bible every day or rarely read your Bible at all, that has no bearing on your merit with God or God's love and value of you as a son of God, as a Christian. All right? So I want to make sure to mention that, because it's easy to fall into the trap of performance-based Christianity mindset and think that you have to read your Bible in order for God to love you, or you have to read your Bible in order for God to think that you have value. Okay? You don't. All right, you have value. You already have all that with God in Jesus Christ. All right? So your merit, love, and value with God is the same on your best day as it is on your worst day. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He is your merit, okay? His righteousness. You are in Christ, and so God already loves you regardless of however much Bible you read or don't read. And frankly, God already loves you and already values you regardless of whether you have a King James Bible or an NIV or an NASB. All right? I understand that some of the people watching these videos don't understand that subject yet. You know, it goes over your head. You say, I don't know about that King James Bible thing. All right, well, keep reading the Bible that you have, all right? Believe the Bible that you have, but sooner or later you ought to study that subject. But what I want to get at is, just because you have a King James Bible doesn't make you higher in value to God than some other Christian who doesn't. And it has nothing to do, it has no bearing on your on the love that God has for you or your merit with God. That is all performance-based Christianity and involves a fall from the concept of grace. All right, so don't fall for that trap. God is not going to love you more if you get up 30 minutes earlier to read your Bible. God is not going to love you more if you spend more time reading the Bible than you did last week. God is not going to love you more if you read 10 pages now instead of 5 pages. God is not going to love you less if you miss a day reading your Bible. God is not going to love the Christian more who spends 3 hours a day in his Bible reading. He's not going to love that Christian more than the Christian who spends 1 hour a day in his Bible reading. You need to get that performance-based Christianity thinking out of your head, because that is not biblical. And these things that I'm giving you are simply tips, all right? These are tips that are based upon principles that are in the Word of God, and these tips that I'm giving you will help you, and therefore wisdom, there is wisdom in implementing these things in your life, all right? So hopefully that's understood. These aren't a bunch of, these are tips. These aren't a bunch of legalistic commandments to add to your New Testament list of thou shalt and thou shalt nots, okay? That's supposedly going to help you climb the ladder of merit with God. It's not like that at all. So I just want to make sure that that's understood. All right, so last week I ended by telling you my Bible reading routine, my personal Bible reading routine, and how much time I generally spend reading and studying my Bible, which segues into the next thing that I'd like to point out to the audience, and that is do not compare yourself with others. Like I said last week, I have a lot more time than I used to have, and so I can spend a lot more time reading and studying the Bible than the average person because of the nature of the job that I have and the nature of what God has opened up and as far as opportunities go. But do not compare yourself to me, and I had to learn this also. Back especially when I was working a full-time job, you know, I had family, kids, all that crazy stuff of life. I think about some of these pastors, you know, that I have a bunch of respect for and how they're, you know, they're just always, they spend so much time in the Bible, and I couldn't do that. But you can't be comparing yourself to other people. Don't be doing that. It's an easy way to get discouraged and burn out if you do that, especially if you're newly developing the habit of reading your Bible. Do not compare yourself to brother so-and-so or however much Bible reading brother so-and-so does. Okay, don't do that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:12, it says, "But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." All right, it's not a wise thing to do. And as I said last week, depending on your life situation, you may not be able to spend as much time reading your Bible as somebody else can. But who cares? You don't need to spend the same amount of time as everyone else. And you don't need to spend, basically what you need to do is you need to spend the amount of time that is appropriate for you. All right? So don't rush your time spent with God. But at the same time, don't use it as a measuring stick of your spirituality either. All right? So granted, you don't need to spend as much time as somebody else, but don't just rush through it, you know. I would encourage you to spend a little bit more than 5 minutes in your Bible reading if you can, you know. Try to take some special time out and give it to God. But at the same time, like I said, don't use it as a measuring stick of your spirituality. Don't think, well, I used to read 5 pages a day, and now I read 20 pages a day. Boy, I'm really growing in the Lord. Don't do that. And don't also be comparing yourself to somebody else who doesn't read as much Bible as you do. It's not a measuring stick of your spirituality. Listen, Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption is in Jesus Christ, not in how many pages of your Bible you read every day. All right? Again, get that performance-based Christianity out of your head. Focus on Jesus Christ. He is your merit. He is your righteousness, not your performance, even if it's Bible reading performance. All right? So time spent in the Bible, this next thing I'll say here, time spent in the Bible, and this is very true, is about quality and not quantity. I know it's a little cliche, but it's true. It's not about quantity, it's about quality. It's God that gives light from the Scriptures. And God can give light in a 30-minute time period just as easily as he can in a 3-hour time period. And he can give light in 3 pages just as easily as he can in 20 pages. All right? So listen, me personally, I don't have a set amount of pages that I read a day. I don't have any kind of reading goal. I don't set a goal for myself. I don't have a specific amount of pages that I try to read every day. I have personally tried that in the past. You know, I've gotten the Bible reading plans where you can read your whole Bible in 1 year or read your whole Bible 3 times in a year, you know, or all that stuff. You know, that works for some people. And, you know, I've tried the reading 10 pages a day and all that stuff. That has never worked for me personally. And my personality is that I am naturally driven by challenge and competition. And so back when I was doing the 10 pages a day thing, Subconsciously, it became more about the challenge of finishing the task, you know, within the certain amount of time that I had before I go to work. You know, it became about finishing this task. I've got to get my 10 pages in today. It became more about finishing the task than it was about absorbing what it was I was reading. Now, listen, if 10 pages a day works for you, fine. But if you can't get anywhere close to that, don't think that you're a failure. Remember the previous tip. Don't compare yourself to others, okay? In my personal experience, I have found that it is best to simply read without a quantity goal in mind. All right? Now you say, why is that? Well, because number one, it takes the pressure off. Number two, I don't feel like I'm limited on time, and so I have to get a certain amount of reading done in a short amount of time, and I've got to hurry, you know, if I'm running out of time to get all these pages read. You know, so it helps not having a quantity goal in mind. Also, if you do it that way, you are free to simply read at whatever pace is best for you that day. You know, because frankly, it changes. You know, the pace that you can read on any given day, depending on the circumstances, how much sleep you got the night before, what's going on that day. Sometimes your pace is going to be a little bit different, depending on your own personal health, you know, mental health, physical health. Those kind of things can affect your pace. And if you always have this mentality, oh, I've got to get 5 pages in, or I've got to get my 10 pages in, chances are you're going to miss hearing from the Holy Spirit more often than not. All right? Now, listen, if I'm reading a genealogy about so-and-so begat so-and-so, well, then I can read a little bit faster. But if I'm reading through Proverbs or Job or the book of Romans, for example, then I have to go a lot slower in order to mentally comprehend what is being said. All right? And by the way, for me personally, I am a very slow reader. I have tried the speed reading thing, you know, where you run your hand down the page. I've tried the speed reading thing, and I can kind of do it, but I've found that I don't retain the information really well when I do that. Basically, you know, I can read through 10 pages in a matter of minutes, but if you ask me what I just read, I wouldn't remember it 10 minutes after it. All right, so I am a slow reader, but I'll let you in on a little secret here. Sometimes in the morning, I'll sit down and I'll open my Bible, and as I said last week, I'll start sipping on my coffee, all right? And I'll start reading, and something will catch my attention in the first 3 verses. And then the Lord shows me something, and I start looking at it, and one thing leads to another and leads to another. And listen, there's been days when I have literally not finished a single chapter of my Bible reading for that day. Matt Crane didn't even read one chapter of his Bible that day? That's correct. Now, I still spent the same amount of time as I normally do, but I didn't make it very far in my Bible reading that day, but it's okay because God spoke to me. That is the important thing, is that God speaks to you. All right? Listen, think about it. Would you rather read one chapter and hear from God, or read 10 chapters and not hear from God? I mean, I think that's a no-brainer. You see, it's about quality of time spent and whether or not God is speaking to you and communicating with your spirit when you're reading. It's not about the quantity of pages that you read. The quantity thing, again, is that performance-based Christianity. If I'm going to be right with God today, I better read those 10 pages, you know. If I'm going to be right with God, I better be sure to get through my whole entire Bible in a year. Where do you find that in the Scripture? You have to read your whole Bible in 1 year, and if you don't, you're backslidden. That is performance-based Christianity. Get that out of your head. All right? So it's about quality of time spent, not quantity of pages read. And that concept transitions very nicely into this next point. Let the Holy Spirit direct your reading and attention. Let the Holy Spirit direct your reading and attention. Now, I'm not referring to anything mystical and, you know, doing that thing where you randomly open up your Bible and put your finger down and that's the Word of God for you. Okay? I'm sure sometimes the Lord can bless that. Okay? I've heard of people doing that. I've probably even done it myself. But that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about when I say let the Holy Spirit direct your reading and your attention is this. This is what I mean. Let your preconceived goals and plans take a back seat to whatever the Holy Spirit wants to show you. So whatever your Bible reading goal is, whatever your Bible reading yearly plan is, or whether you read a proverb of the day, or however you do your Bible reading, let your plans and your goals take a back seat to whatever the Holy Spirit wants to show you. All right? You might have a habit of reading 5 chapters a day, and you only have a limited amount of time to get it done. But can you set aside your goal to listen to the Holy Spirit if He begins to speak to you? You know, you might be halfway through your 2nd chapter, and like a hitchhiker on the side of the road, you know, the Holy Spirit is there in that chapter trying to show you something. And in order to see it, you're going to have to stop and meditate on the verse. You're going to have to stop and look at it, reread it, think about it, look at all the words, pay attention to it. You're going to have to stop and meditate on it. But if you're, you know, obsessive compulsive and you just have to get your 5 chapters done for the day, you know, you're like, there's no time for that, Holy Spirit. I've got to get my 5 chapters read. And then, vroom, you drive right past him, you know, and you leave the Holy Spirit on the side of the road back in chapter 2. But you got your 5 chapters read, didn't you? All right. You see, you need to be more interested in hearing from God than in completing your Bible reading task for the day. You say, what is all this, Matt Crane? These are just tips that I've learned through years of reading my Bible. And a lot of these tips are things I learned the hard way. You know, there's been plenty of times in the past where the Holy Spirit wanted to show me something that I was like, I got to get my Bible reading done for the day. If I don't read 3 chapters at least, I'm backslidden. Sorry, Holy Spirit, I got to go. You know. You learn these things over time. So I'm telling you, through after decades of reading and studying my Bible, if you want to take any advice from me, don't make it about quantity, make it about quality, and be willing to set your preconceived goals and plans aside in order to hear from the Holy Spirit, even if it means you don't finish your task for the day. All right? Psalms 119:15 says, I will meditate in thy precepts. Not like yoga meditation and all that stuff. Meditate in the Bible has to do with, you know, thinking about a thing. You know, spending time focusing on it. Thinking about what it means. How it fits in the context. How it applies to your life. What the interpretation of the verse is. You know, thinking about it. But to do that, to meditate in the precepts of God, that takes time. And it's not something you can do just rushing through. If you're rushing through your Bible reading, you're not meditating in the words of God. All right? When Jesus entered the synagogue for the first time after his baptism, he got up in front of the people and he was handed the book of Isaiah, the Bible talks about there in Luke 4. They handed him the book of Isaiah, and when he read the passage, he read 1.5 verses of this passage in Isaiah 61. You can read about this story in Luke chapter 4. He gets up in the synagogue, they hand him the book, he reads 1.5 verses of Isaiah 61, and then he closes the book, right? And he began to speak to the people. Okay? Well, I found that Jesus Christ is still in the habit of doing that from time to time with me. Okay? So what happens is sometimes I'll sit down, you know, and I'll sit down with my Bible in the morning and I'll ask God to show me something from the Bible. And, you know, I'll open up my Bible to wherever my bookmark is, you know, and keep reading wherever I'm at. And I'll read 2 verses. This has happened to me recently a number of times, and this happened a number of times over the years. But I'll read 2 verses, and then the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ essentially closes the book and begins to speak to my heart. That happened to me in the book of Romans just recently. I got literally 2 verses into it, and the Holy Spirit's like, all right, Matt, let's talk. You know, and the Lord had something to show to me. And in that moment, it would be improper for me to interrupt and say, hold on, Jesus, we didn't finish the chapter. Let's finish reading the whole chapter first, and then, you know, you can say whatever it was that you were going to say. I mean, what a stupid thing to do, right? How well do you think that'll fly with the Lord? Don't cut the Lord off. If you read 2 verses and the Lord begins to speak to you, stop reading, close the book, so to speak, and listen to the words that the Lord has to say to you. Don't just blow by the Holy Spirit and say, no, I got to keep reading. I got to finish. Don't be like that. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Give priority to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit. You know, it's like that little flame burning in your heart. You know, you're kind of coming along and a verse of Scripture just kind of pops out to you. It grabs your attention. All right? That could be the Holy Spirit trying to get your attention. Do not quench the Spirit in that moment. Because that's what this book is about. It's about hearing from God. It's not about accomplishing a task. All right? If you're reading along and your attention is arrested by a certain verse or phrase, pause and take a look at it a little bit more closely. Because like gold in a river stream, you might have to stop and focus on that spot for just a couple minutes, you know, and determine if there's treasure there or not. You know, you're going to have to focus. You're going to have to kind of look at it from a couple of different angles, you know, and see, is that gold or what is that? Right? That's how it is with your Bible reading. Now, let me ask you this. You know, what if you come across something that you think might be treasure? You know, you're reading your Bible and you come across something that, wow, this could be something. This could be really treasure, you know. And you think the Lord might be showing you something in a passage, but, you know, you're not 100% sure. Well, what do you do then? Well, there are some methods and some tools that are helpful when it comes to digging for treasure in the Bible. And obviously, prayer is the primary method. You know, you want to ask God to give you wisdom and to help you to behold wondrous things out of His law, like the Bible says. But I'm taking for granted that you already know that. You know, you definitely want to ask God to show you something when you open up the Bible. That's like the basic of basics, and I'm taking for granted that you already know that. But besides prayer, the most important method, the most important tool, if you will, in my experience in discerning whether God is showing you something or not is as follows. If you get nothing out of, well, I shouldn't say that. Hopefully you get a lot of things out of these lessons, but this is a very, very important aspect when it comes to reading and studying your Bible. This is very, very important. If you were to take advice from Matt Crane, I would circle this one, because this is really important when it comes to digging treasure and finding treasure in the Scriptures, and it is this. It's very, very simple, actually. Write down what has grabbed your attention. Write it down. Seriously, you need to have a notebook and a pen with you when you sit down and go to read your Bible. I'm telling you, if you want to find treasure in your Bible, you need to have a notebook and pen with you when you sit down to read your Bible. I mean, even secular scientists have recognized that there is something about writing that has an additional effect and activates different areas of your brain. Okay, I know for a fact that through my own extensive experience that writing information, writing words down, writing things down, gives information that just simply reading the text doesn't. Okay, it unlocks information that simply reading the text doesn't. In other words, sometimes I'll come to a verse that will seem to have a deeper meaning or something significant seems to be there as I'm reading through there, but I can't really put my finger on it. It's kind of like something shimmering there in the text, you know, and there's something about it that seems like there's something there, but I'm not really quite sure. You know, it's like shimmering treasure, so to speak. And so what I do is I get out my 5-star notepad. I keep it with me all the time when I read my Bible. I've got a bunch of these over the years, but I get out my 5-star notepad. I write down the date. I copy the scripture verse. The first thing I do is I write down the verse that's grabbed my attention. And then I write down the information or the thought that kind of popped into my mind. And I write the verse and I write the thoughts that I had regarding it. And so what this is like, if you will, it's kind of like I liken it to knocking some dirt away from a shiny object that I'm trying to uncover, you know, like something I'm trying to dig for. All right. And sometimes as I write, I begin to realize, it doesn't seem like there's anything really there. You know, it was just a shiny rock. You know, it was nothing really significant. You know, I'll start writing down and be like, it doesn't seem like this is really going anywhere. No big deal. But at other times when I write, okay, one thought leads to another, which leads to another, which leads to another. And these are thoughts that would not have occurred to me had I not begun writing. Because there's something about writing that will unlock your mind, or it'll organize thoughts into your mind. And so one thing can lead to another, which can lead to another. But you never would have gotten down the road had you not written the thing down. Your mind wouldn't have made those connections if you hadn't been writing. There's something about writing, I'm telling you, that's important when it comes to discerning the words of God to your heart. All right? So one thought leads to another and leads to another, and before I know it, you know, there's been times where I just come across a little phrase in the Bible that just seems like maybe something's there, so I write it down, and I start writing down my thoughts, and then this leads to that, and then there's this connection, and then this thought comes to mind, well, what about this verse? Boom, 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 and before I know it, I've got 10 pages of information written down, and eventually I turn it into a Bible study to teach to you. And like, for example, the series that I just did on the spirit and power of Elijah, that started exactly the same way. That whole series, all the information, interesting information that I covered in there, and a lot of people said it was a real blessing, you know, and they learned a lot from it, and I'm glad you did, and I did too. Why? Because when I was reading the text, something popped out to me, and I began writing down, and one thought led to another, led to another, led to another, and I personally learned things that I didn't even know. And then, hey, this will be a good Bible study. You know, that was June 27th, 2022, Luke 1:17. That's where that whole Bible study came from. Right there. In there. All right? So, in fact, most, if not all, of my in-depth lessons began with something I wrote in my Bible journal or that I wrote in the margin of my Bible. It's almost like the in-depth stuff, if you like the in-depth stuff that Matt Crane puts out, you know, most of that stuff began with writing. Not just thinking, not just some epiphany that came into my head one day. It usually began with writing. I don't know, like I said, I don't know how to explain it. All I know is in my experience, that's how it goes. Writing is very important when it comes to hearing from the Word of God and getting clear information from the Lord. All right? Now, like I said, if you want any of Matt Crane's advice when it comes to reading and studying the Bible, get in the habit of writing down the things that grab your attention as you read your Bible. Now, I'm not saying that everything that I write down comes from God. I'm not saying that every single thing I write is from the Lord. All right? There's no automatic writing happening here. It's not like I get some from the Bible and begin to write, and then I lose consciousness, and then I wake up, and now I've got all this stuff written. Okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about anything mystical and all that type of thing. What I'm writing down is my own personal thoughts. But very often what I find is mixed in with my thoughts as I'm reading the Bible and studying the Bible, mixed in with my thoughts are the impressions, the convictions, or the ideas that are communicated to me by the Holy Spirit. If you will, turn to 1 Peter 1:21. I'll wrap it up here. 1 Peter 1:21. And you probably know this verse. It says, let's see. 2 Peter 1:21. I hate it when I do that. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." You know, so when it comes to the prophecies of Scripture and the Scriptures that the prophets and the apostles wrote, they didn't just come up with this stuff on their own. They don't just sit down and think, "Oh, I'm going to write some Scripture today," you know, and come up with all this stuff on their own. It didn't come by the will of man. It came by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Now, what I want to draw from this verse, this spiritual application of this verse, if you will, is that God's Spirit would move the prophets to speak, and then what would happen is the scribe would write down the words that they would say. That's how it worked with the Bible. The Holy Spirit would give the words to the prophet. The prophet would speak, and then their scribe would write down the words they were speaking. Okay? Well, you and I, obviously, are not given infallible Scripture these days, or anything like that, like the prophets and apostles were. But the method whereby God reveals things to us individually is similar in a lot of ways. Okay? And what I mean by that is this. As you read your Bible, you come across something that moves you, right? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, right? Sometimes when you're reading your Bible, there's something that moves you. It grabs your attention. It kind of pops out. It weighs on your mind, okay? That's the Holy Spirit a lot of times trying to get your attention. And as you begin to write, if you'll follow this tip that I gave you, and if you'll write it down, as you begin to write, the communication of God's Spirit to your spirit becomes much, much clearer, okay? And basically what happens is this, what I found is this, what started as in your Bible reading, what started as barely an impression, after writing it down, has become clear direction from God. What started as something that just seemed to kind of barely pop out to you in the text, after writing, is now an answer to your prayer and wisdom that you have been looking for. But it wouldn't have happened had you not written. That's what I'm trying to get at. It was just a very faint glimmer that you could have easily just run right on by. But if you'll start to write, if you'll just try it, start writing down the impressions that the Holy Spirit starts to give you, and you'll start finding that the Lord will start giving you clear direction, clear answers to some of the things that you've been wondering about. For me, what has started as an odd-sounding verse of Scripture that caused me to do a double take, you know, and just kind of look and say, well, what is that talking about? Why is that verse there? What does that have to do with anything? Well, after you start writing down your thoughts, and for me personally, after writing, has at times become the solution to a Bible question that I've wondered about for years. But if I hadn't taken the time to write the words that the Holy Spirit was trying to show me, I would have read right on by it, and I never would have found that treasure. Some of these Bible studies that some of you think are just, wow, that's so amazing, that was such a blessing, I've never heard that before. A lot of that came because I stopped when I was reading my Bible, and I started writing down thoughts, and then as I was writing, the Holy Spirit started to uncover this and uncover that, and this began to unravel, and this began to unravel, and you kind of start following the thread, and then you find the sweater. That's how it started. And I'm telling you, if you want to find treasure in the Word of God, if you want to find interesting things in Scripture, one of the most important things I can tell you is get a journal and start writing it down. I've got over 20 of these things on my shelf, and believe me, as you go back through and read those things, they'll be a blessing to you as you see the Lord speaking to you over the years and the different things that He showed you. So anyway, that's all the time we have for today. I hope these things will help, and I'll have a few more tips when it comes to reading and studying the Bible, not next week, but the following week. So God bless you. Have a good week.